We are doing the book of Iyov. We're up to what's called the 37th chapter. And in truth, we have to really go back to the beginning of the chapter because we stopped in the middle of a thought. Elihu is nearing the conclusion of his speech, and he's pointed out that there are different things that God does which should cause us to have awe of Him, even though we cannot perceive Him, but we can see different things that He does. And he said, you know, there are different wondersome things that God does, like bringing about rain, and giving rain to a specific place, and another place won't get the rain, and it's all calculated, and that on its own is something that excites me, seeing how God runs the world. And he says, you know, when rain comes down, you hear the thunder, and the thunder is like an utterance of God. And then that little utterance of God, that thunder can be heard throughout. You hear it for great distances. And then you see the light, you see the lightning. Also, they can be seen at a distance. And then he continues and says, Pasuk Daled, Acharav Yishag Kol Yareim Bekol Geono Velo Yeakevim Ki Yishama Kolo. He said, but the roar, so to speak, of the thunder is heard by the ear after you see the lightning. And Acharav, after the lightning, Yishag Kol, you hear the roar, Yareim Bekol Geono, God makes a thunder with the voice of Him, of His pride, so to speak, Velo Yeakevim, but God doesn't end them, Yeakevim is like to bring an ekev, to bring an end to. God doesn't really cause a delay that the thunder should come out after the lightning, but rather ki shama kolo. It's only because of the order in which we can hear and we can see that they have an order, but really they're coming at from the same place, and that's also an amazing thing. One of the ways we gauge about where a storm is how far apart is the lightning and the thunder. Right? You guys know that. So he says, you want to see something wondrous about how God does it, it's that if you'd hear that, if you see the lightning and you hear the thunder right away, so then you know that you're seeing it the way you should. But no, you stand at a distance and suddenly you see the lightning, and only a while later you hear the thunder, and you realize that that's only a product of the way God created it, that light and sound travel at different speeds. So he says, look at it. You know that when you're at the eye of the storm, it comes together. You know that when you're at a distance, it comes at different paces, right? The light travels quicker than the sound. And God made something so simple, yet you see the difference. Here you see laws of nature, and within those laws of nature, you could see something awesome. Doesn't that arouse awe in you of God? Look at something as simple as that. You think you understand nature. If you stand at a distance, you think, oh, it must be lightning came out, and then thunder came out. No, when you stand at the eye of the storm, you see they both came out together, and yet at a distance, you think you understand it. You think, no, they come out at different times. God made it so. God made laws of nature, the speed at which light travels, the speed at which sound travels. And that's a simple law that you could stand back, look, and marvel at. It strikes me how in Eov's time already they understood these things. You know, Yareim el bekolo niflaot Ose gedolot velo neida. God in His thundering shows us something awesome, and that's something that we can perceive. Oseg Gedolot, and God has other great things that he does, Velo Neda, which we cannot fathom. This is a small thing which we can actually perceive. There are many other things which we cannot. Ki Lasheleg Yomar Hevei Aretz V'geshem Matar V'geshem Mitrot Uzo. Ki Lasheleg, for God commands the snow, and God says to it, Yomar Hevei Aretz. God tells it, go down on the land. And we see it down on the land. And so God commands the Geshem Matar, and God commands the rain that pours down, the Geshem Mitrot Uzo, that the rain should come down powerfully, and we could see the rain coming down when God tells it to come down. Biyad kol adam yachtohom ladat kol anshei maaseihu. And if you ask a person, can you forecast exactly when snow will fall, exactly when rain will fall? No one can forecast it exactly. Biyad kol adam yachtom. God seals it off the hand of each man. No one has a handle on it that he could forecast the weather accurately down to the moment. Ladat kol anshei maaseu. This is so that we know that... Okay, this is a little bit difficult. The ladat kol anshei maaseu, there are different understandings here from the different commentaries. One understanding here is that Hashem doesn't want that people will, so to speak, stop the rain from coming. Hashem makes it that's cloudy, and people don't know the moment when it's going to rain. Let's say a person would know when it would rain. He might pray, Hashem, don't let it rain now. So Hashem makes it that at every moment we have this doubt. Is it going to start? Is it not going to start? So Hashem doesn't make it very obvious. You don't know exactly when it's going to start. And this way, so to speak, we don't stop the rain from coming. We don't pray that it shouldn't rain. That's one understanding here. Another understanding here is that this thunder and this lightning is really always introductory to snow and to rain. And God could make the rain come from different angles and the snow come from different angles. Biyad kol adam yachtom. And when a person sins before Hashem, then the person himself seals up in heaven what he's done wrong. Every night our neshama goes up. Every night we ourselves sign off on what we've done. This is a totally different understanding in the pasuk. The first understanding was biyad kol adam yachtom. God keeps it sealed from the hand of every man. No one has a handle exactly on what the weather is going to be like. This is a totally different understanding which we use in our prayer. Biyad kol adam yachtom is quoted in the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur prayer, that Hashem has every person sign off. Every person when he dies is brought before a book and they show him, this is what you did on this day, this is what you did on that day, this is what you did wrong in your lifetime. And a person signs off afterwards. His neshama signs and says, yes, that's what I did. Ladat kol anshei maaseu, so that it's known. There's a record of what each person, what his actions were, and why he's going to be punished over those actions. Yeah?
You were talking about forecasts. So what about now that the weather forecast is very, very accurate?
So the way we explained it is that no one can forecast the minute when the rain will begin. That's how the Metzudos explained this point. We discussed the previous times that the weather forecast is only accurate to a point. No one could tell you. No weather forecaster would be willing to put down money that A or B is going to happen tomorrow. They couldn't forecast down to the point where they'd be willing to bet on it. They say it will probably be like this. It will probably rain. It will probably be warm. It will probably be cold. How often are they wrong? I wouldn't notice if not for the fact that I keep Shabbos. And very often you plan whether you leave a radiator on or you leave a fan on based on what they say. And I could tell you that they're not doing so hot, or we're doing very hot. We've had Shabbos where they said it's going to be cold and it was broiling, and the other way around. And here, if we go with the other understanding, the second understanding, so then Hashem has all these animals that can come and ambush. God has many messengers. that can be his ambush, the ambush on his behalf. But tavo chaya v'mo arev, a wild animal can come and ambush, uvimonote hatishkon, and it is resting in its resting place until God has use for it. So that's one understanding. Going back to the first understanding, that this is all a reference to rain, so then animals have a sense when rain is going to come. But you'll find that the animal, in anticipation of rain, knows exactly where other animals have patterns of travel in anticipation of their sensing rain, and then it can wait in ambush to get other animals. Uvimonotea tishkon. And it knows when there's going to be a downpour that it doesn't want to get caught in, and then it could go and wait in its den until the downpour is over. So you see that there are things that our perception is less than the animal's perception. Animals can sense rain, certain animals, and we don't. Min ha-cheder tavo sufam umimezarim karam. Again, here we have, going along the lines of the beginning of the chapter, we have different understandings as to how the chapter continues. One understanding is Mizarim is a source of winds, some heavenly source of winds. So from Cheder comes a tremendous wind, and from Mizarim comes cold winds. That's how Rashi goes. And the other understanding is that Hashem has this room from which winds come out, what's called in Tanakh Chadrei Teman, the rooms of the south, and the winds come out of Cheder, and Mizarim is some kind of constellation of the zodiac. From that comes Kara, from that comes cold. Minishmat El Yiten Karach, God blows and He makes ice. V'rochav Mayim V'mutzak. And here, okay, so we don't mean the way the pagans believed, that there's a god that's standing out there and blowing and making ice. Minishmat kel means the breath of God, so to speak. We say whatever God does is by decree. We say, how is the world created? Basaram amarot. God just said it and it happened. So minishmat kel, from the wind of God over here, is a reference to God's speech. Minishmat kel, from God's say-so, from God's decree, then yiten karach, God made ice. V'rochav mayim b'mutzak, God makes it that the ice settles on top in a wide fashion, so that the waves can't climb over it. V'rochav mayim b'mutzak, God can make a breadth of water that turns into ice, and then you have these ice caps or islands, and he's describing how God can form things in nature. God can decree that there'll be some kind of, you know, there are whole territories in the North Pole. You have islands made of ice. So he says, "V'rochav mayim b'mutzak." God could make a breadth of water suddenly become solid, and they solidify, and then you have this island that God suddenly declared there should be an island there. Chazal tell us that even the formations of islands, it comes by decree. Chazal tells us that when Shlomo married the daughter of Pharaoh, so at that time the angel went down to the bottom of the sea and caused a volcanic eruption that caused Rome to develop. I don't know if they meant Rome or Greece or exactly what they meant, but Chazal say there was some island that was formed, that's where the Roman Empire stemmed from. I don't know if he's talking the barbarians of the Roman Empire or who exactly they're referring to, but it all started. God already planned the destruction of the Second Temple, the Roman Empire, with the volcanic eruption that happened when Shlomo married the daughter of Pharaoh. Af beri yatriach av yafitz anan oro. Af beri. So Rashi tells us that's an angel that's in charge of the clouds. And we should know that because we mentioned him in our, I don't remember if it's Tfilas Geshem or Tfilas Tal, in our prayer when we switch from Mashibruch Morda Geshem to Morda Tal, one way or the other. I don't remember if it's on Sukkot or Pesach. we mention Afberi, the angel that's in charge of the clouds. So Afberi, this is the name of the angel who's in charge of the clouds. Yatriachaf, he can cause the clouds to, he, so to speak, he commands them. He can, the word matriachav, he makes the cloud fill with the weight of the water, carry the weight of the water. Yafitz ananoro, and this angel also causes the clouds to scatter its light, which we saw earlier. Light over here is a reference to the rain from the cloud. So this angel can also cause the clouds to scatter their light, to scatter their rain all over. And again, Elihu is going his way, giving different examples within nature where we see wondrous things. If you just look at the wonders of nature, through that, you're supposed to recognize that God is running the world. Vehu misibot mitapech b'tachbulotav lefa olam kol asher yitzavim al penei tevel. So Elihu says, Vehu, and this cloud, because of different reasons, Vehu misibot, from different reasons, it rolls over backwards and forwards. Mitapech betachbulotav, you see the cloud rolling, so to speak, moving in specific directions. Lefa'olam, and there is a purpose, because God said this cloud is supposed to do a specific thing, and God causes the cloud to move in the direction where God wants it to do whatever it's supposed to do. Kol asher yitzavim, whatever He commands them, al penei tevel arza, then they come pouring down on the earth. That's their job. Don't think it's a coincidence, as He's been saying all along. There's a plan and there's a reason why this place will get rain and this place won't. Rashi learns that sometimes the Gemara tells us, sometimes on Rosh Hashanah, Am Yisrael were completely tzaddikim, and in heaven they decreed they'd have rain. Then, as the year goes on, Am Yisrael doesn't do what they're supposed to do. So Hashem says, but I said it's going to rain. So what Hashem does is Hashem makes the rain come down at the time when it's not helpful. Hashem makes the rain fall in the desert or in places where it's not useful. And sometimes the exact opposite happens. Comes Rosh Hashanah, we don't deserve to have too much rain. Then as the year proceeds, we do tshuva. And then Hashem says, okay, what am I going to do? I said there won't be a lot of rain. I'll make it rain at exactly the right moments. If you get the right moment in the right place, then it could be a very productive year, in spite of the fact that it's not raining a lot. It's all a matter of getting the timing. You know, if it rains and right afterwards you have a very hot day and everything evaporates, you didn't do much. If it rains and then you have a cloudy day and then you have a day where the rain can get absorbed and the rain falls exactly where the crops are growing and at the time when the crops need it, so then even a small amount of rain could be very beneficial. Im leshevet, im le'arto. Sometimes the rain can come down as a shevet. The rain can come down like a staff, as a punishment. If people are sinning, so then Hashem can make it rain, and that rain is not a rain of blessing. So there are times when rain is harmful. Im le'arzo, sometimes the rain comes on Hashem's land, and it's because it's a blessing. So then, im lechesed yam tziyehu, and sometimes Hashem makes the rain come down to do great kindness for people. There are different goals with the rain, and Hashem makes it in accordance with what we deserve. Again, He's trying to point out to Eov, look, that within nature there seems to be a variety of things that are not constants. You can't say everything is just nature, because if you look at nature, there are a lot of variables that have a function, and He's interpreting them as a function of God. None of these, in my humble opinion, are proofs. You know, they're points to ponder. They're points to look at. But I don't think He's proven anything in this last claim. Hazin hazot Iyov amod veit bonen nifleot el. Listen to this, Iyov. Listen and think about what I'm telling you. Amod veit bonen. I want you to look nifleot el at the wondrous things that God is doing. So he's saying, it's not a proof, but it's something that if you think about, I think you'll get what I'm talking about. And we'll have to pick up here, Bizlachim, next time.